comes. The latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. We're going to put a great spotlight on the Southwest this next 30 minutes. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and I thank you for listening and for being a part of Mrs. Green's world. I would like to also thank the sponsor of our show and a great partner of Mrs. Green's World, the City of Tucson Department of Environmental Services. I am so impressed with their commitment to sustainable practices, including getting more and more people and businesses to recycle, which is no easy task. And some of the things that get recycled are always interesting when my guest here does a show with me, to improving their own energy efficiency and to building public-private partnerships in creative and innovative ways. And indeed, they do all that. So as you are going to hear in these next 30 minutes, they also are committed to recycling thousands of Christmas trees that might otherwise go into our landfill. So the question is, when it comes to tree cycling, you know, I had to be clever. I've got two friends sitting here. Will you be naughty or nice? And we're hoping that you will be nice. Joining me in studio are two people who will give us all the information we need to know on how to make nice this holiday season once you're ready to get rid of your trees and to do the best thing for the planet. They are both return guests and two people I personally have lots of respect for and, truth be told, lots of fun with. We've made some really pretty happy memories these past years. So welcome Christina Palsgrove, Public Information Officer with the City of Tucson Environmental Services, and Jason Tankersley, the CEO and Visionary Extraordinaire. Do you like that? Visionary Extraordinaire.
That's nice.
That's just slick. Of the Fairfax Companies, and he is a founding sponsor of Mrs. Green's World. Thanks to both of you for being here.
Thank you.
So I've got a little bit of like fact-finding I did to get, I love numbers, I'm obsessed with waste, so this was a perfect storm for me. Just this holiday season, in the period between Thanksgiving and New Year's, American households generate 25% more waste. So, you know, the number of, we're going to spend up to $1 trillion this holiday season is kind of sickening to me, but then of course, that generates waste, 25% more waste. And according to the Environmental Protection Agency, that's about 1 million extra tons of trash each year. So that 25% translates into 1 million. It's, you know, it's kind of disgusting, let's be honest. It's just a disposable society, not going to get on the you know, the pedestal and start preaching, even though I just did a little bit. But in terms of Christmas trees, anywhere from 25 to 30 million Christmas trees are purchased in the holiday season each year, which I thought was kind of a low number, but I checked a couple of sources, and that's about it. There's a lot of trees, but considering how many people there are in the country, I didn't think that was that big. And also that real trees are a renewable resource, which you're going to talk about. They're a renewable, recyclable resource, but only if you recycle them. So, and I also found out that there are about 4,000 local Christmas tree recycling programs throughout the United States. So efforts are being made to do that, to recycle them. And now we're going to hear about how you can get involved with TreeCycle and be nice. So Christina, tell us about the city's TreeCycles program, how it starts. How do people do the right thing? Give us the scoop.
Okay, well, we've been offering the TreeCycle program for 20 years now. And
since before Mrs. Green was born?
Yes, yes.
Wow, okay.
And we have set up locations, 8 this year, all throughout the community in partnership with Oro Valley. And we just set up places where people can come and drop off their Christmas tree when they're ready to take it down. And all we ask is that they make sure that everything is taken off, because then those trees that we collect can be ground and used as mulch for people's gardens or however they would like to use them. I know Jason has some other ways that he uses them.
Which we're going to talk about that. But do people really need special instructions? Do people ever just dump the tree in the truck? You're shaking your heads and
put
it and say, here it is, recycle this with the bulbs on it and tinsel and all that stuff?
No way. They put stuff in the recycle bin. They leave tree stands on them. They leave ornaments.
So what do you do when they leave a tree stand? This would be a good place for people to get their tree stand for next year if they didn't have one.
Well,
that's recycling, but it's labor intensive then.
Then it means people have to go in, or it might get put in the grinder, in which it causes damage to the equipment and possibly damage to the people who are operating it, because those machines, you know, can spit stuff out. And it's one thing to get hit with a little piece of wood, but another to get hit with a
piece of metal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just have to say, I was thinking about it prepping for the show. What do people do if you don't recycle them? Do people try to put them curbside and think you're going to pick them up?
We've certainly had that. We try to get the message out to people. We will definitely see some in the early months of Brush and Bulky, and sometimes even in the summertime, we'll get the tree that's left out for Brush and Bulky.
We get several in July.
Yeah.
So this is like a total aside, but we were in this, like a treasure hunt where you have to go around and find things with my Rotary Club. And one of the things was find a dead Christmas tree. And the party was like in June. There are lots in alleys,
Okay?
And they're a fire hazard.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, you get them out of your house because you know it would be so, they're like a little tinderbox. So basically, the message for our listeners is just use common sense. And it's not a whole recycling program. It's just their tree part, and take the stands off. I mean, I can't imagine the stands are not inexpensive. We take ours off, and we have a really unique concept. We use it the next year on our Christmas tree. It's like, so come on. What about, I love this too. I really did my homework. What about tree pool? You suggest tree pooling. I thought, oh, this is so cool. Tree cycling and tree pooling. And I'm like, what the heck is that?
Well, you know, not everyone. It's pretty easy when you buy a fresh tree, if you tie it down on the roof. But when you're getting ready to take it down, it causes kind of a mess going down the road. So we just, you know, if you have a truck and your neighbor needs help, help them, you know, take the tree, put it in there and drop it off at the tree cycle site. So, you know, all the parts don't follow you down the road.
And it might be, it's very green to do that. You know, it really is to not have six mm-hmm. trips in your neighborhood. Just get the cul-de-sac to put them out if you're the one that has a truck. And it's all that to me, the connection to how can I live consciously and do the right thing. So that's the right thing. And of course, I'm always digging with you, Christina, about what else happens. Because sometimes you've told me on the show and off the air what you find in recycling. Do people try to put other things in with the trees? I don't mean the decorations. We covered that. But they just think, oh, well, I'm going to get rid of this and I'm going to get rid of that. And maybe I'll take this with me and put it in that.
Unfortunately, we do, see some illegal dumping that goes along with the tree cycle sites. I guess people figure, you know, somebody's going to come out and collect these things anyway, and it causes just a lot of extra work for our crews who are trying to do this in addition to their regular responsibilities.
And I always like to be conscious about questions or things that are just kind of thrown around in the show that I know what it is and you know what it is, but you mentioned Brush and Bulky.
Yes.
And that's something that I'm surprised at how many people in the community know what it is, and they do, and there's a schedule. So just briefly tell a little about that. We'll have time to talk about it a little bit. So just tell us what that is so people understand. And the calendar, I just looked, is it up for 2018 yet?
It will be shortly.
Shortly. Okay, by the end of the year.
Twice a year, our customers who live in the city limits and who receive our services can put out up to 10 cubic yards of green waste or bulky items, and we will haul them off and make sure they get disposed of properly. And about 85% of our customers use the program. It's probably our most popular program. And the calendar will be online, but they can also download the My Waste app and set up reminders for themselves so they'll know when it is. They can also request a special brush and bulky at any time, and that's a fee, but same amount, if, you know, 10 cubic yards of material. So,
what kinds of things? Do they? Is it furniture? Is it, you know, stuff like that? Because I just think of what Goodwill does with furniture restoration, and what do people put in the brush and bulky?
It's green waste. It's furniture. It's
mattresses.
Appliances.
Mattresses.
Appliances.
Tires.
Appliances.
Man.
Refrigerators. Things.
I think that is something you never mentioned on the show, that 85% of your customers take advantage of it. No wonder. I was in a meeting and someone said, well, we can get them to pick that up with brush and bulky. And I looked around and said, you know what that is? And most people in the room knew what that was. I, of course, did not, because that is not in my job description.
And we have an agreement with the city of Tucson to where we will take their brush and bulky. They will bring it to us, and if it's clean, then when they bring it to us, we try to recycle as much of the green waste or, you know, appliances or whatever comes in with that.
That helps us a lot, because our trucks that are servicing on the east side, you know, it saves them from having to go all the way to the landfill, and that's just, you know, less carbon emissions and
less
miles.
Yeah,
on the road.
And so, what happens to it there for the cycle of life. So, Jason, it's a perfect segue. I was not purposely ignoring you for this segment of the show. It's like, tell us what TreeCycle is, and then tell us about the Fairfax companies, not just about your partnership with TreeCycle, but what do you do in the big picture? It's a lot.
Well, the Fairfax companies, and people will know it as tanks, operations, and we have roll-off containers and dumpster service that we provide, and we had recycling operations in town that we take our speed tank speedway recycling and landfill facility. We'll take construction, demolition, and landscape waste. As much of those materials as can is recycled. The clean green waste we process and we send over to our INA facility, and soon it'll be our tanks Wilmot recycling facility, and we compost the material or we mulch it, and we make different products. We even make fire logs to sell, and they're used in many hotels, and they're sold in a lot of A's Hardware, as long as our other tanks Green Stuff products. So,
but talk for a minute about those fire logs, because you gave me some.
Yeah.
And they are flipping awesome. So tell us about, I'm not kidding.
Well,
and they
you.
Burn forever.
Yeah, they burn a little, hopefully a minimum of 4 hours.
One log.
Heat. And the way they're constructed to, and we love using the pine from the TreeCycle program, because it actually has a really nice smell to it when you burn them. So we love to make those logs out of that material. And the logs are manufactured so that they actually convect air throughout them. They have three little holes, and they burn very, very hot. And they convect the air through the middle of the log, and it burns from the inside out.
And what's in them, though?
What's in them is recycled wood product.
And we use any
plastic?
We try
to use clean pine. We use a polyurethane.
Okay.
In a very, very light dose as a binder, or a very small percentage as a binder. And because of the way the log is designed, it burns very, very hot. And when that material burns hot, it burns extremely clean. Like, it's a byproduct of natural gas production. And so it burns like that, very, very clean.
Well, I was thinking about it. You know, we usually buy a cord of wood about every 4 years, because we do live in the desert. I don't think we're ever going to have to buy a cord of wood again, because we now live in the year-round desert.
Right.
But I was thinking about it the other day, and I mean that, because, you know, my daughter loves fires in the fireplace, and so do I. But I was thinking, I'll get those logs instead, because we don't have that many fires. And I know I should even be saying on the air that I have them because of air pollution, but it's okay.
Well, if you buy one of those little bundles of wood at the gas station or the grocery store or something like that, that'll probably burn out in 30 minutes, and half of it'll smolder because it doesn't fully combust. These logs will fully combust, and even after they're done burning, the embers inside will smolder and it will continue to provide heat.
And there's not such a mess.
And there's not such a mess.
Seriously.
Yeah.
So I think that
they burn so much hotter than just burning regular, wood.
What an investment. Do they have them in all the Ace Hardwares in Tucson?
They don't have them in all the Ace Hardwares. They have them in many of the Ace Hardwares. And you can go to www.tagsgreenstuff.com.
World Wide Web.
All right.
Tanks Green Stuff.
Yeah.
So that's going to be great. And it's exciting to be calling it now Tanks. I like it a lot. What about the locations? Let's go back a little bit to that, because we're not going to tell them all on the show. People won't remember them, but how do they find out about them?
Well, like I said, they can go to our website at www.tucsonaz.gov.
See what you
slash TreeCycle. And we have a map. And again, if they want to download the app, we've got all the information there as well. And so it should be fairly easy to find. I would say that, you know, one of the differences this year is we have added tanks. Site and Speedway and Kolb, which is great for our customers on the east side.
Speedway and Prudence.
You know, it's tricky because I tell people Speedway and Kolb.
Well, that's our main office.
That's your main office, and they do not take the trees there, but you will direct us. So it's just you go on Speedway if you're heading east, and it's right past Kolb. There's a sign for Prudence,
and
you go in that way.
You have to take Prudence north from Speedway into our facility.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, let's elaborate a little bit more. You talked about taking the brush and bulky stuff. And I remember when I was just a very young Mrs. Green and walking around with you on the landfill saying, you got to be kidding me. The things that you do I want to talk specifically about what you'll do with the trees and turn it into. But what do you do? I mean, this is how I describe you. If there's a way to recycle it, Jason will be obsessed with finding that way. And you don't like see anything. You do anything that you can. There's piles of so much stuff out there because you don't want to put it, you don't want to landfill it.
Yeah, so. We try to landfill as little as possible. Some things just aren't feasible to recycle now.
Right.
And it depends on markets. Unfortunately, right now, the recycling markets are pretty much under siege. And there's almost no market for plastics in the market right now. And a lot of the other commodities are extremely depressed at the same time. So unfortunately, if we have to, we will landfill material. If we can't find a home for them, you can only stockpile so much, you run out of space, right?
Right.
And we're actually, our facility is kind of limited on space. Fortunately, we are opening up another Wilmot facility down in South Wilmot. And will allow us to have more space for recycling. All the recycling that is going to happen in that facility is going to be under roof, indoor. So all the sorting happens inside, and it'll be a much more modern facility and have a lot more room for stockpiling.
And under roof. I'm sure there's a lot of people on your team that will like that a lot.
Right.
Because it's really hot out there in this
tough job.
Ever-expanding summer. What about is there still, I remember going to one of your facilities and you know, copper. Do people still try to steal copper from construction sites and from you?
They do. When copper is at a high value, they tend to try and take it. You know, we have had theft at most of our sites when it's valued very high. Right now, copper is also going down in value. A lot of the non-ferrous metals are also going down in price. So the city of Tucson, who gets money from their recycling with three communities, probably not getting what...
Not at its height. And the thing is, what about... When I started, we had so many people on the show, and I had such an interest in paper shortages. So everything, paper was in demand, cardboard and newspaper and all that. What are you seeing with that, Christina?
Well, I think we're seeing a lot of cardboard. It's probably one of the more traditional commodities that there's still a lot generated because, and we, you know, in the industry, it's called the Amazon effect because so many of us are purchasing things online and we get them in the boxes.
Yeah, that Amazon, not my Amazon.
But other things like newspaper, we've seen a drop because there aren't that many newspapers around and they're getting thinner and thinner. We're getting much more of our information online. Aluminum and tin, steel are still, there's still demand, but yes, the pricing is going down. And I know Jason probably sees this as well, but part of the reason for the drop in the markets because so many of the plastics will end up going to China, and they're basically saying now, we don't want your trash. And they want it, the recyclables to be as clean as possible, and the contamination that we see is just keeping us from having that market open to us.
It's shocking and horrific, the things you've told me. I mean, even up to including dead animals. They're not recyclable, by the way. I just wouldn't would you say
actually, they are. There,
but not in your facility.
No, not at our facilities, but Hickman's recycles their chickens quite a bit. They compost them, their dead chickens.
That's probably on a need-to-know basis, and
that's a different story.
I didn't need to know. It's okay. What about styrofoam? The never-ending, it's like, to me, it's the devil.
So glad you brought that up because Jason's one of the very few resources
because it bothered you. And so you invest, you know, thousands of dollars in the styrofoam eating machine. I think that's
feel better if it was just thousands of dollars.
thousands.
It's a very tough commodity to deal with. It's so bulky and light, and you have to put it through a condensing process, which takes a lot of labor and time and expense, energy, for that matter. I truly don't know if it's worth it. My altruism thinks it's something that we should do.
Your altruistic side, which you have.
And it's a service that we provide to some of our bigger clients, and they really like that. And we'll take styrofoam from anybody if they bring it to us. We actually leave a small 15-yard dumpster out in front of the main office along Kolb at 1360 North Kolb as a recycled drop site for the styrofoam and cardboard if they'd like to bring it.
So if they bring styrofoam, and is it in the traditional dumping fee?
No, we'll take the styrofoam for free. If you just drop it off, we'll take it as long as it's just all clean styrofoam. If you have a mixed load, then you're going to have to pay the regular tipping fee.
But what I was thinking about is if people are listening when they listen and they are saying, of course, I'm going to do tree cycling. I'm going to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. What about if people get, there's so much crap you get with wrapping and styrofoam in things, they could make it a double trip. They could put their tree in and bring the styrofoam with them. Yes?
We would do that. We'd ask that they,
not to put you on the spot on the air, but is that a pain?
Well, I think
is that a good idea or not?
Styrofoam, then head over to the
that's what I mean. That's what I was thinking.
They can
make two trips, but they're close by.
And what we have done in the past, and we've worked with the city of Tucson for Tree Cycle for a number of years. We've done this first time. We've always said that people could bring it into our site as well, but this is the first time they're actually advertising to, we're a drop site. If people bring us a clean Christmas tree, no lights, no tinsel, nothing on it.
No tree stands.
We will take a tree stand, but you're going to pay us, and we can take it apart and recycle it. But that takes labor, and so it's a little bit different. But we will also give you, with each tree that you bring us, we will give you a free bag of compost. Takes Green Stuff compost, organic. 100% organic compost.
I am glad you brought that up because it was in my notes. So there is a reward for being nice, yes, not naughty. And that organic compost is literally award-winning in my book. I mean, it is the highest grade compost.
Composter of the Year, 2017.
Hello, hey. I don't think I've ever rung the bell with you guys sitting here, but that is seriously. It's any of the gardeners in town, the garden clubs, all of those groups, the website that's Tucson Gardeners website, mm-hmm. Tank's Green Stuff. When anybody asks, they call it Tank's Green Stuff because that's the organic compost. And plus to all the myriad of places you've donated where things are growing quite well, mm-hmm. to put it around. And Christina, you have a reward for people that are being nice and not naughty as well. What are you going to give them?
Oh, well, we have Mary mulch. So once we...
Oh, my God. I love it.
Once we grind the trees...
Tree pooling Mary mulch. Love it.
Once we grind the trees, we will put the mulch out at the Los Reales landfill and at the Randolph Golf Course site for people to pick up and use in their garden beds and things. It's not a compost. It's just the wood chips. But it does help retain moisture, which is
so
important.
It's good for garden beds and all that stuff. And I noticed on the website that it said if you're going to take a lot and be a hog, it's okay, but to go to specific sites. And that's on the website.
Yes.
And the website is really easy to find. It's tucsonaz.gov/treecycle. So everybody, even if you're driving, can remember that. Just remember TreeCycle. It's in there. And the Fairfax Companies is still, for now, thefairfaxcompanies.com. So I want to switch gears for a little bit. We don't have much time left, but I, as a business owner and as a head of a, you know, you're the public information officer, the go-to person for what to do with your garbage and recycling, but you know a lot. What are you finding now? You know, to me, you've assessed the market in terms of, it's very depressing to me that the markets for all of these things have gone down. Hopefully it'll cycle back and there'll be more demand, because I have to believe we're still not going, we don't have unlimited supply of everything on this planet. So people are thinking, you know, laissez-faire attitude. What about social media in terms of how do you get the word out? You know what we'll do with this podcast. It's not going to have, you know, 10,000 listeners in the city. It'll have thousands, we hope. But what do you do, like, for Tank Screen stuff to let people know about the services that you do have? Is social media, has it become a real part of your business? I would describe your business as a lot of B2B. Mm-hmm. Because you work with landscapers and construction companies and all that. But is the consumer market finding you more? Because you do have Tank Screen stuff, but that's mostly marketed in retail locations.
That's correct. Over 100 retail locations.
Gracious, is expanding. I mean, and 5 years ago, it might have been none.
Yeah.
100.
Maybe.
I don't know. Time flies when you're having fun.
It's on a snort.
But 100. We do have too much fun with the three of us.
We use social media quite extensively, and from Yelp to Facebook to Twitter, and we have a great team between Emily and Shoda and Ben Azir, who's taken over our roll-off division, and Yaya. They all contribute to these
fun videos,
and we do some videos and try and have a little bit of fun with it. They like
to
have fun
with me. Did
you
really get in that compost?
They put me in a compost and tried to cook me up.
It's like he was totally in the compost.
The
only thing I could do is close my eyes and wish it was chocolate.
That was for the U.S. Composting Council's 2017 advertisement.
It was pretty funny, but that's the kind of stuff people like. And Christina, what about you? Your Facebook is good. Your Do More Blue site is good and funny and clever. So what about, does that help with getting people engaged?
It helps people. We like to reach out to people and put all our information out there. I think that a lot of our contacts through Facebook and our other social media tend to be the believers. You know, they're people that have sought that out. But we want to get out information in any way we can, because everybody's getting their information from different sources these days. So we try to be out there as much as possible. And we've been out a lot, out in the community at events lately, and that's always the best way.
Events.
Yes.
Events. I know. We're just all so tired of events by this time of year. It's like, please, there's no, I don't think there's any more events between now and the end of the year. So time does fly when you're having fun. You have your websites that we mentioned. I would like to mention that Mrs. Green's World is doing a great Giving More by Giving Less holiday campaign about, if you're not going, try not to buy on Amazon. I'm just going to say it, because first of all, they don't need your money. They're billionaires. And second of all, there's questionable practices with how they treat their employees. Everybody's going to order on Amazon. I'm one of them. But look at our Giving Less campaign. You can order from ethical, socially responsible companies there. December 19th, 10 years of making impact. Mrs. Green is the guest. And on the 21st, T. Van Hook, Building Hope for the Holidays. Thanks, you guys. And I hope you get lots of trees.
Thank you.
Thank you.